Welcome to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. I'm Emily Horde, the host of this show and the marketing director at Astoria Co-op. Today, I'm speaking with Consejo Hispano.
Hola, Emily. Thank you for having us here. I am Norma Hernandez. I'm the Deputy Director of Consejo Hispano.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having us. I am Diana Niño, and I am a Programs Director at Consejo Hispano.
Hello, everyone. My name is Andrea Gonzalez, and I am La Cocina's Kitchen and Workforce Program Manager.
You know, Consejo Hispano was formally incorporated in 2005. But it has been doing work for the community since 1992 as a grassroots organization. We are youth center with those families to really help them integrate better into the community and to bring and educate them in that wealth that they need to bring, that we all need to go, just not to go and work for our families, but to bring them a better life. We have a series of programs that are fantastic. You're going to hear about a couple of them today, but we have tax filing. We are an organization that is called VITA, and it is from the federal government, and we do free tax filing for families and Latinos and non-Latinos. And so we also have now the warming center when needed. We have an after-school program. We have a summer program that is 6 weeks long, and it's all very culturally enriching. It's really trying to keep everybody knowing our cultures, especially our kids, that they are born and raised here. And sometimes it's a little bit of a disconnect. So we're trying to keep all that culture and language alive, and the music and the art. So it is a fun time for the kids, actually. And we have other programs that it have to do with, you're going to hear about climate justice, the women's group, the kitchen, what is going on there, and our delicious salsa, as Andrea will tell you about. So we just try to cover as much as possible. And the financial literacy part, it's really educating not only kids, but also their parents, how to have a better financial understanding of how things work here.
Could you please highlight some stories of successful projects or moments that illustrate the mission in action?
It's difficult to find like just a few, because we have these type of successes pretty much every day. They're small successes. They may not seem very impressive, but for each family and each individual that we serve, that is a huge success. We often get approached with general questions or with just struggles that people are going through, and then we kind of put them at ease, and it's like, hey, we'll figure it out. If we don't have the answer, we will show you where to go to get the answer. But we often just listen and try to understand what it is that this person is needing. What is it that they are missing, or what is the resource that they haven't connected with? So in this type of situations, we can connect them with resources for their kids or with schools or with food. You know, there's a lot of people that are struggling to get some food, and it's not just because they may not be able to afford it, but also because of what's going on. They may be fearful to go out, go grocery shopping. So then we can help them with that. We can help them with getting rides to work and from work, or to some medical appointments or things that they need. So we try to support them in as many ways that we can. Of course, there's also a language barrier. So that's a lot of what we do. Sometimes people get a letter. It's like, hey, what does it say? I don't get it. And it's like, oh, it's a letter from your gas company. And this is what they're saying. To us, it seems small. But to them, they get that letter and they get so worried. Like, what is it? What do I need to do? And then we just bridge that barrier that they have to continue their lives and continue, like Norma was saying, just contributing to the community, because they do contribute and they pay taxes and they make our communities just more diverse, happier, healthier. And just we help them stay active.
And one of the things I think that Diana can also expand is on those things that we are approaching as the new needs in the community arise, like climate justice, which is something that you never heard a Latino community really approaching that subject before. And now, tell us a little bit about that, Diana.
That is very true. So we've been doing this type of work for the last several years. We've had some partnerships with Oregon State University, also with the Cascadia Coastlines and People's Hazards Research Hub, Oregon Sea Hub, and now with Washington Sea Grant. And what we've been doing with those partnerships has been understanding what are the perceptions and what are the experiences of the Hispanic and Latino communities with coastal hazards, and also with beaches in general, and, you know, just the general richness of nature that we have here in the Pacific Northwest. And so we started identifying that, yes, it is very much like tsunami preparedness is very common, and it is part of what we do. But in reality, people are struggling with certain emergencies year after year, like flooding and storms, and they lose power, and this happens all the time, and people are still not ready for it. And people still go hungry and cold when these things happen. And so we started thinking, like, how can we educate, and how can we make workshops, and how can we promote emergency preparedness in a way that is less doom and gloom and more about the peace of mind that comes with being prepared? And we realized that there aren't really that many programs that are culturally appropriate or that they have those practices in mind. We started with those partnerships with OSU in trying to develop videos and just little lessons and workshops and activities that make more sense to the Hispanic community so that they can start putting this into practice and just interiorizing how important it is to be prepared. There's a lot of about preparedness that is costly. Like, to be honest, putting together a go bag, it can be over $100 just to have a basic go bag. And that's something that unfortunately is not a priority. There are other priorities like putting food on the table or, you know, paying rent. And so these things start going down in priority. And what we're trying to do is, like, how can we make it so that little by little they can get these things together? It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Like, we need to make it approachable so that people see it as something that is possible and that they can certainly integrate into their daily life. So we're doing our program. It's called Climate Justice and Emergency Resilience. And so this, unfortunately, is our future. We cannot avoid it. And we want our people to be ready to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. It's a fascinating process to be working through this with the community and not just preparing something for them. And it's like, hey, here, this is what we have for you. But like, no, you're helping us figure it out. You're helping us design it and make it so that it makes sense to you.
Yeah, because sometimes I think we had a lot of trainings already set up, but they were not culturally appropriate for our community. And messages have to be given in different ways for the community to understand it, accept it, and buy into it. And I think that is great what the staff is doing with that now. It's like, how can we make it that people understand it, that they get it, and they don't put it at the bottom of the priority list? And part of the trainings have been giving bags, giving those basic to-go bags with certain items in them. Then it's like, here you go, let's start. This is at least the bare minimum that you need. And people then get motivated because then they see. But it is put in a way that they can understand it. And yeah. I think that is the beauty of the staff is doing with that. It's fantastic to see.
Yeah, we're helping people sign up for emergency notifications as well. They've heard of it many times, but very few have actually signed up for it. We're also helping them get ready all their documents and their information so that everything is in one place in case they need to evacuate and just grab that. So we're doing it. Yeah, just little tidbits here and there. And as all of our programs in Consejo Hispano, it's completely free of charge. We never charge for any of the services or the programs that we put out there. So this is something that thankfully has been possible now that we have a grant, the Thriving Communities Grant, so that we can do this type of work.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Those are things that are really, you know, really we have to adapt. What are the changes in the community so we can help the community, Latino community, adapt to the community at large? Mm. It's like, okay, what is here? What is next? We cover 4 counties, 3 in Oregon and 1 in Washington, but really the very ones active with climate justice, it will be Tillamook and Clatsop and Pacific County, because those are the ones that are closer to the coast.
Yeah, that seems really helpful.
Yeah.
Oh, good. And what are some other programs you wanted to highlight?
La Cocina, which is our commercial kitchen and tortilleria in Astoria. You may have seen it. It is located in downtown Astoria on Commercial Street. La Cocina also serves as our workforce program for Latinx youth and Latinas. And this year, we've had a lot of fun kicking off production of our salsas and our tortillas chips at 2 different pop-ups. We got to showcase our 4 signature salsas, which are our red salsa, our green salsa, our charred green salsa, and I think probably a fan favorite is the mango salsa. Yeah, mm-hmm. As well as our tortilla chips. And for that second event, we walked away with only 2 containers of the salsas, which was really cool. And we sold out of our tortilla chips in like the first 45 minutes. So we realized that, you know, people really need more chips for the salsa. So definitely follow us on Instagram so you can find out when we have our next event.
Yes, yeah. La Cocina Astoria in Instagram.
And all the recipes are artisanal, they're authentic, they're done with love, with excellent quality ingredients, locally sourced.
Not watered down at all.
Exactly.
It's like it stays on the chip when you dip it in. It's the good stuff. It's quality, small batch. 100% of the profits are going towards continuing our workforce program. And currently we're recruiting for 2 incredible workforce opportunities. And the first one is our 12-week paid kitchen internship, which is for our Latinx youth. So we're looking for like 18 and older, as well as our Latinas who maybe are interested in gaining that real hands-on experience in a professional kitchen. While also enjoying food and culture. And the interns will commit to 18 hours a week for 12 weeks. And during that time, they will be not just cooking, but also learning about food prep and production, health and safety standards, inventory systems, retail operations, really what you need to know to be able to function in a collaborative kitchen team. And so the really exciting part about this opportunity is that interns are going to receive a stipend at the end of it, and it is a little bit over $3,000, which is a really great stipend, as well as support with getting their food handler's license and training. And all of this can just be really a great opportunity, a stepping stone for anyone interested in the culinary careers or even starting maybe their own food business. We're also recruiting for our La Cocina Youth Workforce Program, which is designed specifically for high school students. So Latinx youth ages 16 and up here in Clatsop County. And that program is going to run for 8 weeks from April 1st through May 23rd. And it's kind of like an after school program. So we'll be running the program Wednesday through Friday from 4 to 6. And this program is really for high school age, for those students that are maybe trying to build that confidence and develop those workforce skills through kind of a fun avenue of food and culture and getting to talk about the history of Latino foods and getting hands-on training in food preparation, as well as receiving a little bit of career exploration and coaching and mentorship. And we'll also support them with obtaining their food handler's license. Really just excited to be able to continue providing opportunities and pathways in food.
And I think especially for the youth, this will be a great program because there comes a summer that they're going to have their summer jobs, and most of it is usually in kitchens. So I think that if they already prepare, they know how to work in the kitchen, they know a discipline, you know, the safety, they know the responsibilities, it will really help them. It is so good, and that was always the main reason when we obtained La Cocina. Mm-hmm. It was really, how can we help our community youth and develop those skills, and that way they could help them in their jobs and summer jobs and then their real jobs, you know. Who knows? We can have the next top chef out of there. It could happen.
Yes.
And in the long term, it also strengthens our local economy, because we've also noticed, and it's not just to us, but to a lot of smaller towns, smaller cities, is that youth kind of leaves. Like once they graduate high school, they leave for college and then they don't come back. And then we really need that young energy in our community. So then by motivating them to have these skills that can provide them with, you know, dreams and ideas of like, hey, I can have my own little business right here in Astoria, right here in Tillamook. Like I can stay home and I can make a life here. You don't have to leave our communities to make a, you know, a business for yourself. So that's something that we also think about in the long term. That is very important to strengthen our communities.
They will learn about local produce and about our local, you know, all our local really producers, that they can learn how to.
Our food system.
Our food systems, mm-hmm. that it's part of, is so such a big part of the Latinx community. You know, those are things that we are usually the people that we don't have to teach them how to use vegetables, or because if we are raised eating a lot of veggies and eating a lot of being very resourceful in the kitchen, and that is something that it will continue that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I would say our community is also very, we have a very entrepreneurial spirit. And
yes.
So being able to be exposed to, you know, what it takes to run a business, mm-hmm. and getting that early on can be really impactful and meaningful for, you know, their own journey in the food sector as well.
Yeah, yeah. That could be super cool.
You've tuned in to KMUN. This production is Beach Grassroots, a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. Let's get back to my conversation with Consejo Hispano.
You were asking about kind of like a big success. I was actually serving on the board not too long ago, and one of the biggest things I think for us was acquiring a new building, Casa Mariposa, our home.
Yes, we bought the building. We haven't paid it off yet. So we are, that is like all of us, you know, that mortgage. Mm-hmm. We would love to really pay off that mortgage so we can use the money to continue our programs and expanding. Right now, you know, we have been with a lot of challenges in our community and nationwide for our Latinx community, or all immigrants pretty much. So I think that to being able to not have to think about that mortgage and being able to provide all the necessary programs, it will be a great advantage to us. And trying to help our community to also stay a little bit sane, especially from our women. We have the women's group that gets together once a week, and that is how we giving them a chance to all the moms in our community to give them that strength so they could build into themselves and pass it on to their kids and keep the family going strong. The moms are really the pillars of the families. They are the one who has all the weight. And if we are trying to help and support our moms, and, you know, this is a safe space. You come, you talk to us. We have some educational things. We have some craft things. We do a little bit of exercise. So that way we can help them to deal with all this pressure of being an immigrant right now in our community. But Casa Mariposa will bring that space to do that also. How can we bring to our community? And when you leave, you know, you look around, especially we are an immigrant part of the world. Everybody here comes from someplace else in a way. And when you see Suomi Hall and you see the Sons of Norway, used to be the Mason Lodge, you have all these organizations that have a home. And Latinos, we have not had a home. this is the first time that we have a place that we can call ours. And it doesn't matter who is going to be working for the organization in the future, still will be their home. And that is something that we wanted to be that legacy, that they don't have a mortgage, that nobody could say, oh, they did something, but now I'm stuck with it. No, we want to make sure that we can provide that, that we can pay it off, do all the improvements that need to be done, and we can have that space that is safe and continue to provide the support to the community without the pressure and extending the program. Because right now, you know, to pay for such a big building, it is a lot of money that goes into those payments, mm-hmm. and that it could be used in programming, that it could be used in extending services. So right now, we just kicked off that campaign back in December. And that's what we're working on. Let us know if you're interested in learning more about it. And my email is norma@consejohispano.org. You know, we have great programs that the community really helps us a lot. Oh, I have to say, you know, we have our annual fundraiser that is Golpetazo, that you come and smash a car first Saturday in May.
There's people already talking about it.
People already talking about it. People already was like, are tickets on sale? Not yet. But trust me, we have some great auction items already. And also, we have our Magia Navideña. Magia Navideña, it is a present that we get for our community members, for the kids. It goes from birth to 18. We do have some food boxes that we give to our community, especially with, since the immigration issues, some people are living fear. So we do have foods for that, for families. Something that we do, and we appreciate when people want to bring us foods. But you know what? We do have a list of culturally appropriate foods. You know, it could be, oh, we want maseca, or we want dry chiles, and we want, you know, all
rice.
Rice and beans. Hmm. You know, we have a list of culturally appropriate foods that if people are interested in donating to that, just, again, get in touch with me, and I will give you that list. That way we can really share things that family are able to use. And that we had received a great support from the community with that. And the support and the love, we feel it. And we are so grateful and appreciate it. And the gratitude runs very deep for this community because they have embraced us. They have embraced Casa Mariposa. And they are supporting us.
I am a lifelong Consejo Hispano-er. I have been using the services and attending events and programs since I was a kid, and my family has also used the services. And so when I started working with them back in, that was like 2017, I think, I was really grateful to Consejo Hispano for hiring me right after I graduated with my BSW and got to work with them for a couple of years before wanting to continue with my education, and then served on the board for a while. To me, like as a somebody who has grown up here and as someone who's been using the services for a really long time, was really, really meaningful to be able to sign and vote and say, yeah, let's buy this building. Let's do this. Let's make that space for our community. And so that has been really great and meaningful. And as well as now in my role, I, you know, to be honest, never saw myself running a tortilleria in my future, but it's so cool because my family has such, you know, strong roots with maíz, with corn. My grandpa is a farmer from Puebla, Mexico, and he cultivated corn as well as a hibiscus plant. I remember going there and eating blue tortillas from the corn that he had grown, and my grandma would make it. And it was just, it's really special now to have those memories and have that connection now to the tortilla and the tortilleria, and being able to kind of continue sharing that cultural wealth, really, that we have with corn in Mexico specifically, too. And so being able to share that with other youth here in Clatsop County is really special. And also by connecting through food and building their workforce skills. So that's, there's just so many reasons that I do the work that I do, but I think it's just such a deep connection to who I am and where I've grown up here in Astoria, and just the community that I've felt from Consejo Hispano growing up.
So I have a lot of different experiences, like working experiences with filmmaking, communications. And then when I moved to Oregon about 10 years ago, I knew that I had all of these different skills, and I wasn't sure how to apply them. And then I got to Consejo Hispano basically because I'm bilingual. And in this part of the world, being bilingual is a huge skill. But when I moved here, I realized that I could start making a difference. And basically, Consejo Hispano taught me how to do work for community and to make a difference in people's lives. So it was a completely different angle, and Consejo Hispano embraced my skills and my what I could contribute. And now it feels really good to have a job that not only allows me to have a nice life, but also that I'm making other people's lives nice as well. That sense of purpose, that I'm not just doing something for myself or for my family, I'm doing something for others, is really special.
With me, since I moved here in 2003, I learned about Consejo Hispano at that time, and I was a volunteer with them for several years. And after being a volunteer, and it came the opportunity to be their first executive director in 2008, I took the job. It was very gutsy of me. I took the job for 4 years. And I was their first ED. I left for 12 years because I went to work for public health and returned 2 years ago. I was very close to start retiring. But when it was the opportunity, I didn't even think about it. I said, yes, I want to do this. I want to retire from a place that I feel that I'm really, really making an impact, that I'm really helping, that all the years that I've been living here, I could use those years to really build that bridge, to be that community person that it can engage everybody involved, all the cultures that I could integrate, that I have been very blessed for the friends that I have here and all the members of the community that I have, and that they trust me. And they know that if I did not have blind faith in Consejo Hispano, I would have not returned. So I will not want to retire from any other job that is not for Consejo, because that's where my heart is. And actually, the three of us, we left and we came back.
We did. Yeah.
Yes. It is that passion. It is, you know, you really go to sleep at night with 20 million worries about what could happen. But you always know, well, I'm doing my part to make it better for someone else. That's my story with Consejo. It's a story of passion and love. And I think for the three of us, it's passion and love what it keeps us there.
Thanks for listening to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. You can find out more about Consejo Hispano at consejohispano.org. Beach Grassroots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, by me, Emily Horde. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can find out more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Beach Grassroots airs the second Thursday of every month on KMUN and can be found wherever you find podcasts.